think of how he came so far from glory, came to dwell among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace. On Mount Calvary take my place. Did I ask myself this question? Who am I?
and good morning. Aren't you glad today that we serve a risen Savior? Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. And folks, I don't know what tomorrow holds, do you? I sure don't, but praise the Lord, we serve a risen Savior who has all things under control. Praise His holy name today. Well, happy Mother's Day. We're so glad to see all of our mothers here today. So glad to see each and every one of you here. So thankful for our guests that are with us this morning. Those who have been with us before and returning, we thank you for being here. We thank you for listening by those who are on live stream. And so glad that you were able to swim through the water to be here with us today. So see, some of you just got so lucky you got here nice and early, right before it came here. And then Brother Greg told me that I could preach until it stopped raining. So look. Look, it stopped. Look, y'all need to pray for more rain because this is going to be a really short No. But so glad to have every one of y'all here this morning. Let's all stand together, if we will, as we go to the Lord in prayer, asking His blessings upon our services today and asking His blessings upon our mothers as well. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this day that we have today, Lord, just to be able to call upon your name, just to be able to lift up our voices before you. And Lord, what a joy it is to be able to gather in your house this morning to call on you. And Father, I do thank you for our mothers that are here today. I thank you for each and every one of their lives and the testimony that they've had upon their children and grandchildren. I thank you, Father, for the testimony that they have today, even being here this morning. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just bless them this day. And Father, we give our services over to you. Lord, you are still number one in our hearts and our minds. We just pray, Father, that all glory, all honor comes to you and all praise will be received by you. I pray that the power of your Holy Spirit would be upon this place today. And Father, as we submit ourselves and we come under your authority today, I ask that you would guide us and lead us. May our hearts be open to receive what you have for us, Lord. But Father, above all, we want to say thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for what you're doing in the hearts of the people here at Underwood Baptist Church. Thank you for what you're doing in our nation, Lord. Even though sometimes we don't see it, Lord, I know that you're still in control and that you're still working and you're still moving and you're still advancing your glory forward. And we love you. We praise you. We thank you for all that you do. I pray if there be anyone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, let this day be the day of salvation for them. Let this be the day that they surrender their heart and their life and their will over to you. I pray for the one that is struggling this morning, maybe through their health or through family circumstances. I pray for the one, Lord, who is waiting on some information, or for the ones, Lord, who just maybe don't know where their children are at this moment. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage them, strengthen them, and guide them. We love you. We praise you. We give you all glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, amen. As you go ahead and standing, go ahead and turn in your hymnals this morning to 505. Love lifted me, and aren't you glad that Jesus Christ lifts us up? Aren't you glad today that if you have trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, we can turn to Him for all of our burdens? Brother Mark, let's sing about that love. Amen,
brother. All right, join me on page 505.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me. Soul's best song, faithful, loving service to Him belong. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows his will obey. He your Savior wants to be. Be saved today. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Let's continue on singing. If you'll turn to page 364, we'll continue by singing My Jesus, I Love Thee.
My Jesus, I love Thee, I know.
Great singing. You may be seated. You may be seated as well, choir. Once again, good morning. Welcome to the Under Baptist Church, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Thank you for being in our in your places this morning, and we appreciate you being here. I don't know why I said that twice, but let's go over our announcements that we have for this morning. So the announcements that we have May 17th is the baby shower for Miss Justine Druitt. That is at 7 p.m. That is this Friday? Friday. So Friday, 7 p.m., baby shower there. This Saturday is our hamburger cook-off and picnic. Cook-off is beginning at 9 a.m. You should already know if you're going to be doing that. 11 a.m. for bounce house and games, and hamburgers will be served at 1. Bring your favorite side dishes and desserts. And this still has to sign up if you're attending. Do y'all still need that? So they still need to know how much food to prepare. So if you are attending that, they would really appreciate you if you let them know today in the information room so they can know how many they need to cook for. That is on Saturday at 11 for Bounce House and Games, 1 for the actual food. May 19th is next Sunday. Pensacola Proclaim Ministry is going to be here for our evening service. It's going to begin at 6 p.m., and a love offering will be taken for that service. June 1st is going to be our men's lunch at 11 a.m., and we are having Dad's Diapers and Cornhole. This is going to be celebrating soon-to-be dad Chris Druitt, bringing diapers and wipes of any size, any brand for that. It is 11 a.m. If you have any questions, you can see with Eugene Gonzalez for that. That is June 1st. June 8th is a visitation day up here at the church. That is at 9 a.m. June 15th is going to be a VBS work day with a time to be determined. Do we have a time on that, Miss Ashlyn, or... We're calling at 11 right now. If it changes between them, we'll let you know. That is on June 15th for a VBS work day. Also on June 15th, there is a Young at Heart and Middle-Aged Adult Game Day. That is at 2 p.m. Castle Lay and coming back to the church for games. And then Vacation Bible School itself is June 17th through 21st. That is 6:30 to 8. If you want to help with that and you haven't already let Miss Ashlyn know, let her know if you want to help for volunteers for that. Also, we have yard signs for that. Yard signs and stands are in the information room. You can take one per family for that. So yard signs and stands for VBS, grab one of those, one per family in the information room. Besides all of that, do we have any other announcements that need to be announced this morning before we continue on? Yes, sir.
Calendar page for Miss Justine's baby shower, there's an RSVP link.
Yes. Okay, so the church website also, if you want to register for VBS, there is a code on there. You can register on that. You want to get ahead of that. Also for the baby shower, their registry is linked on there on the calendar. If you want to check that out as well, they are at Target and Amazon. Also, graduation, if you haven't already let Miss Mandy know about graduation, you're graduating from high school or college, let Miss Mandy know. She is curating that. And I had one more, and I'm trying to remember what it was now. Oh, there are Mother's Day cards in the information room. If you are, you know, last minute and need a Mother's Day card, we have some for you in the information room. Check those out. Grab one before you go, and you can get that to her. There's a bunch out there, so utilize that. Besides any of that, have we forgotten anything? Anything here?
Anything here?
All right. If you'll stand back up with me, we'll sing page 409. You'll turn there, and we'll sing I Know Whom I Have Believed.
I know.
You can turn around, shake each other's hands, welcome someone to our services this morning. Wherever you're at, if you'll join me on the last verse, verse number 4.
I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the vale with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day.
Amen. Great singing this morning. You all may be seated.
Amen. At this time, we'll go ahead and ask our ushers if they will go ahead and make their way forward this morning. This is our time to be able to worship the Lord and through tithes and giving. And again, so glad to see each and every one of you here this morning. We do wish our mothers a very happy Mother's Day. And so glad that you could all be here. I know the weather sometimes deters, right? Sometimes us Baptists, we just don't like getting wet, right? And so it's because we're so sweet, that's why. But we do want to take this opportunity to be able to worship our Lord and Savior through our tithes and offerings this morning. And let this be a time of worship. As we come together in the Lord's house, let's remember this. Everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we think is to bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus Christ, to bring honor to God, our Savior, who has given us all things. All that we have today is because of Him. And so I'm going to ask Brother Eugene, if you will, if you'll go ahead and lead us in our offertory prayer for the offering.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this offering, Father God. And just ask today, Father Lord, as we listen to another portion of your word through Brother Danny, Father Lord, as the rain falls upon this building, Father Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit falls equally as hard, Father Lord, upon our hearts, Father Lord, as we listen to your word, Father God. Thank you so much for the time and the offering that you've given to this to the house, Father Lord, and the furtherment of your kingdom. And pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
A mother's love is something that no one can explain. It is made of deep devotion and of sacrifice and pain. It is endless and unselfish and enduring, come what may, for nothing can destroy it or take that love away. It is patient and forgiving when all others are forsaking, and it never fails or falters, even though the heart is breaking. It believes beyond believing when world around condemns, and it glows with all the beauty of the rarest, brightest gems. It is far beyond defining, it defies all explanation, and it still remains a secret, like the mysteries of creation. A many splendid miracle man cannot understand, a another wondrous evidence of God's tender, guiding hand.
Singing now. So we have a group of mothers that have prepared a Mother's Day song for you. So enjoy as they sing for you today.
I gave you heartburn and I made you sick long before I even took my first breath.
And you barely slept for 2 years after you brought me home.
I ruined your carpet and colored your walls, then did it again after you scrubbed it off.
And if you were lucky, I'd give you some time alone. But still you look back on it all and you smile. So here's to you, Mom, from the heart of your child. Thank you for loving me tenderly, showing me how to be strong. The least I can do after all you have done is thank you for being my mom.
For listening to me when that boy stole my heart, and letting me practice with your brand new car.
For teaching me how to make Jesus my everything. For being right there every time that I fall,
and praying for me faithfully through it all. I am convinced I'm still here 'cause you stayed on your knees.
I don't tell you enough just how special you are, but I'm grateful so now from the depths of my heart. Thank you for loving me tenderly and showing me how to be strong. The least I can do after all you have done is thank you for being my mom. I thank you for being my mom.
Someday I'll be the one with blue marks on my walls and staying awake all night long.
As hard as I try, I can honestly say
that we all would be lost without mom. So thank you for loving me tenderly and showing me how to be strong. The least I can do after all you have done is thank you for being my mom. I thank you for being my mom. I praise God for giving me my mom.
All
Amen. Thank you so much, ladies. I think we just found a new trio. Amen. They did a good job, didn't they, this morning? Praise the Lord. I do want to say this morning, I do want to say thank you to all of our mothers that are here today. You know, I was telling the Sunday school class this morning, society wouldn't be here without moms. Amen. That's right. And we want to appreciate our mothers this morning. We take time today to encourage and want to lift up every single one of our mothers. I want to do this morning. Y'all just give me a moment here. I would like all of our mothers who are here today, and I know moms come in different forms. If you are a mother, you are adopted mother, you are someone's surrogate mother, I would like for you to stand this morning. We want to recognize you today. Amen. Let's give them a hand, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Thank you so much, ladies. And we do have a gift for all of our mothers here today out on the foyer on your way out. Just our gift and our way of saying thank you so much for all that you have done for us. I look around the room and I see so many strong women who have raised their children in church who are here today. Many, some of them are sitting here with their families, and it's a testimony to who you are and what God has done for you. And I just want to encourage our mothers this morning, keep going, keep praying. Keep lifting your children up in prayer. I'm so glad to have with me this morning my mom who is here. And I was telling the Sunday school class this morning, I said, I know for a fact that being a mother doesn't stop when your children leave. I know for a fact that my mother falls on her knees every day and prays for every one of her children. She has five children, how many are there of us? Three daughter-in-laws, two son-in-laws, 17 grandchildren, and one great-grandchild on the way. And my mom prays for every single one of them and lifts them up. And it's because of that kind of prayer of a godly mother that I am so thankful that God has given me a godly mother. And so I thank you, Mom, and I love you. So if you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me, if you will, this morning to 1 Samuel chapter number 1. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. We're going to look at one verse this morning in a text as we continue our study on a picture of grace. We've been studying men and women of the Bible who have had great great grace thrust upon their lives. And so today we're going to be looking at some principles of a surrendered life, what it means to have a surrendered life and what that looks like. And my hope today is that we'll be able to apply these types of principles to our own lives as we live our lives for the glory of God, and so that we too can live a surrendered life for Christ. So if you have your Bibles open this morning, 1 Samuel chapter number 1, if you're able to, I ask that you stand with me in reverence to the reading of God's holy word. We're going to look at one verse this morning as our text verse, but we will be drawing our points throughout this passage. But 1 Samuel chapter number 1, begin reading with me in verse number 11. The Bible says, "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you once again just for the opportunity to be in your presence. I thank you, Lord, that we're able to gather together in this building as a body of believers, as a family, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. I pray, Father, that the power of the Holy Spirit would be upon us now. Lord, I ask that you would just guide us and lead us. And Father, for all of the mothers that are here today, I pray that you would bless them. I thank you for having a godly mother in my life who instilled in me the love of Jesus Christ, that, Father, without him, I would never make it to heaven. And so, Father, today I pray that same prayer, that if there be anyone here today who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, let this day be the day of salvation for them. Let this be the day that they give their heart and their life over to Jesus. And Father, for those who are here today that know Christ as their Savior already, Father, let this be the day that they live a surrendered life for you, a life that is wholly devoted unto you. Father, to give you all things in our life, I do pray now that you would come down and that you would be with us, Lord, that you would guide my thoughts, that you would guide my words, that you would guide my eyes and my will, Lord, that it would all be under your authority. I give myself to you, asking, Father, that I not speak anything of my own tongue or of my own will, but, Father, may it all be done according to your will for your purpose and your design. I love you. I thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Motherhood does not get a lot of encouragement from our society today. Now, oftentimes, the media, social platforms, and will project the family as a group of whacked-out people. They make fun of fatherhood. They make fun of motherhood as it's being portrayed as a family in every which way, except for the way that God had intended it and the way that God had designed it. We've seen here lately strong opposition from the abortion right crowd, sending a message to motherhood that it's okay to kill a child while it's still in the womb. And folks, can I tell you tonight, this morning, that every child matters to God. Every child, every life is there because God has planted it there for a purpose and for a design. Of recent, we've actually seen the transgender community where men are trying to be women and they're trying to adopt children. We have women in our society that are putting away what God has given them by nature, by natural abilities, to turn around and transgender into, try to change into men and just throwing away the natural order upon which God has already ordained. And there is a lot in our culture that speaks against the family, that speaks against motherhood as a whole. But the church, let me remind you, is a called out assembly, a countercultural institution, and we're not here to reflect what's going on in the world, but we are here to reflect what's going on in the Christian life. We are to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with every person that we meet, and share the gospel of Jesus Christ within our homes, within our families, that the doctrine of God's word would be taught to the next generation so that they too can grow up in a world knowing the responsibilities of moms and responsibilities of fatherhood and knowing the responsibility of a Christian life. So today we as a church honor motherhood. We honor the family. And we applaud every effort that is given to place to a virtue in the heart of every boy and girl today. The Bible concerning godly mothers says, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. And that's what we're here to do today. We're rising up and saying, thank God for godly mothers. Thank God that you are here today and that you've brought your children with you, or you're praying for your children. Thank God that we have godly Christian mothers who are still willing to raise their children in the Word of God, who are willing to stand on the principles of God's Word, who's willing to stand up and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Abraham Lincoln said of his mother, no man is poor who has a godly mother. John Wesley said, I learned more about God from my mom than from all of the theologians in England. Simply put this morning, moms have a way of teaching us the virtues of life and about the characteristics that you and I need in our lives where it concerns the Christian home. Now, one of those moms that we're going to learn about this morning is in Scripture, is a woman by the name of Hannah. Now, Hannah was a woman who had much difficulty thrown into her life. Some of it maybe by her own choosing, but others of it not by her choice and by circumstances that surrounded her life that she had no control over. But folks, she exhibited a trust in God, and because of that trust that she put into God and because of her faith that she handed over to God, we are still talking about Hannah to this day. So I want us to notice, first of all, this morning, Hannah's difficulty. If you look in your bulletin, you'll find today's notes. If you don't have a copy of the notes, lift up your hand and our usher will be sure to get you a copy. We got a couple back here. And we encourage you to follow along with those and take notes on those. The purpose behind the notes is so that you can take what you learn, go home and grow and strengthen your walk in God, much like Hannah did. So let's notice, first of all, this morning, Hannah's difficulty. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 2. The Bible says, and he, Elkanah, Hannah's wife, had two husband had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peniah. And Peniah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now, let me start off by saying this morning that being a good mother does not always mean that you are going to have a perfect family environment. It does not mean that everything is going to go easy and that everything will run smooth as a mother. Just by a show of hands, how many perfect mothers do we have in here today? How about this one? How many mothers do we have in this room that have raised children and that have been around your kids for any length of time can testify that your children did everything you told them to do? If you did, I want to talk to you after services. I'm entering a new stage in my life. It's called fear of the driver. So I want to know how to deal with that. None of us can say that. No matter where we walk today, no matter where we are in our Christian life, no matter how hard you read the scriptures to your children, listen to me. Difficulty, folks, will come. God never promised an easy life. God never promised that no hard circumstances would come. God never promised that the doctor would never come up to you and give you bad news. God never promised you that your 16-year-old will walk into the door and look at you and say, "Mom, I wrecked the car." God never promised you that your child would be raised perfectly. Why? Because we all face difficulties. And we do not all have control over the circumstances of our lives. But what made Hannah's situation worse was the fact that Hannah was in a polygamous relationship. You see, her husband had disobeyed God and he had married another woman by the name of Peninnah. Though this was practiced by some Jews periodically throughout their history, it was never God's will and it was never God's design that a man would have more than one wife. He was to marry one wife and to cleave to that one wife. But Elkanah had disobeyed God and had married another woman. But this was also during a period of time known as the Judges. And the Bible tells us in Judges chapter 21 and verse number 25, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, not only was there a polygamous relationship here, but Peninnah had children. And every time that they would go up to the temple, and this was an annual event, so this was something that Elkanah would take his wives and his children up to every single year. And every year that they would go up to the temple, they would go up there for a time of annual sacrifice. Well, during this time, it was made clear to Hannah through Peninnah that she was without child. Look at verse number 6. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret because the Lord had shut her womb. So notice with me this morning that part of Hannah's difficulty was that she was barren. She was barren, and this was especially difficult for a Jewish woman because it was considered honorable to have a man-child in their culture. Psalms number 127 and verse 3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." In fact, in Jeremiah chapter number 1 and verse number 5, God said to Jeremiah, "When you were still in your mother's womb, I knew you." So God recognizes the lives in the mother's womb as the life of a pre-born child. Folks, listen to me. The life inside a mother's womb is valuable to God. It is not ours to take. That life belongs to Him and to Him only. Did you know this morning that your children are on loan to you from God? They're not your children. Makes me look at my own kids sometimes and say, "Well, Lord, I can't be responsible for them. You just loaned them to me." Well, that's not true, is it? God gave them to us for a reason, and that was to raise them up in the love and admonition of the Lord. And that is our responsibility. And so it was that Hannah did not have such a life because Hannah was barren and without child. Much like Sarah, who was barren until she gave birth to Isaac. Much like Rachel until she gave birth to Joseph. Much like Elizabeth until she gave birth to a man by the name of John the Baptist. And we learn in all of these Bible stories that God is the one who is sovereign in the giving and in the taking of life. And so it was with Hannah. The Bible says that the Lord had shut up her womb. So we see that she was barren. But I want us to notice, secondly, that she was also belittled. Hannah was belittled. She was always being ridiculed here by the other wife, Peninnah. Notice verse 6. And her adversary also provoked her sore. Now, she was constantly being taunted by Peninnah, by this adversary. Constantly, she was in distress and anxiety was coming on upon her. That word provoke there means to vex her or to grieve her. The truth of the matter is all of this was taking place simply because Hannah had a disobedient husband. And I want us to understand this morning that anytime someone moves away from God's plan for our lives and for our family, there will come strife and disharmony. Now, whether this was the polygamous relationship, whether it was because of adultery or some other type of immoral sin, whenever a man moves away from the obedience of God, it also grieves the heart of a wife. It grieves the heart of a child. Listen to me, men. Whenever we sin against God, we're not the only one it impacts. It also impacts your families. Listen to me, wives, mothers. Whenever we sin against God, it's not only our life that is impacted. It is also the life of the husband and the life of the children. Listen to me, children. Listen to me, teens. Whenever you sin against God, it doesn't only impact your life, it impacts the life of your mom, your dad, and others who are around us. Many times we sit there and think, it's my sin, it's my burden, and I'm not hurting anyone. Can I tell you, that is a lie that's been hatched right out of hell. Every choice that we make has an effect on somebody else. Every wrong that we do impacts another life. And we need to be conscious of that. And none of us are here are perfect this morning. We've all made mistakes, especially when it comes to parenting. Amen? We've all had to suffer those consequences of time to time making a rash decision or a rash choice at a wrong time that has created a ripple effect on the lives of those in our families. And so it was, because Elkanah had disobeyed God, Hannah was thrust into this difficult situation. And as their family was to travel to Silo, as they would go to make a sacrifice at the tabernacle, every year that they would go, Hannah was barren. She would have to hear these criticisms from Peninnah. And she was constantly being belittled. And this caused her to have anxiety. This caused her to, the Bible says, to worry. Notice there in verse number 6, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret. Charles Spurgeon said, anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength. You see, whenever sin comes into one's life, there's always a pain that comes along with that. And that's what was happening here to Hannah. She was fretting and she was worried. Now, perhaps today you are facing some sort of anxiety. Maybe you have worry in your life that has been thrust upon you. Can I encourage you today, listen to this message and learn from this woman named Hannah. Because we're going to learn this morning how to take hurt and turn it into hope. How to take difficulty and turn that into delight. And we're going to do that by the power of God. Notice verse number 10 with me, if you will. And she, Hannah, was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord. So not only do we see this morning Hannah's difficulty, but we also see Hannah's dedication. You see, Hannah did the right thing with her trial. She didn't go onto Facebook and blast a post about what was going on in her life. And by the way, that's a very bad decision to make. She didn't start calling people up, and she didn't start going to their houses, and she didn't start pulling them into the corners of the church and gossiping and saying bad things about her husband's other wife or her husband's choices or her husband's decision. Hannah learned to take her burden to the Lord. The psalmist says in Psalm 61, verses 1 and 2, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Folks, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, He is your rock. Every one of you who had a mother that prayed, you ought to think about that this morning. You ought to think about the fact that you had a mother who has learned to talk to God. George Mueller said the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. So you see, when Hannah put her trust and her faith in the Lord, her anxiety began to diminish. God began to bring peace into her heart. And I want us to notice, first of all, this morning, her prayer. Let's look at her prayer this morning. In verse 10, she says, "And it was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore." The Bible tells us that she prayed unto the Lord. And this was there was only one who could change Hannah's situation. And that was God Himself. You see, prayer moves the arm that moves the world, Spurgeon says. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, the Bible says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." You see, you don't have to do everything right as a parent, but there is one thing that you cannot get wrong, and that's this matter of prayer. You and I need to be praying fervently for our children. You know, our children is growing up in a society that is going further and further away from God. It is our responsibility as mom and dad. There, I'm looking around the room this morning and I'm seeing different types of parents. I see parents who are already grandparents. Their children are grown and gone. I see parents here this morning who are maybe in the midway process, right? Some of their kids are at home. Some of their kids have already gone off. I'm seeing parents this morning who will, for the first time, become grandparents, and they will enjoy a new season in their life as they move forward in a new life or a new journey that God has given to us. But folks, listen to me. I don't care how old your children are. If they are a baby in the womb or your child is in retirement age, you should never fail to pray for your children. Our children today need to be covered in prayer to Almighty God. So don't forget to pray for your children. Don't forget, folks, to pray when troubles come. Make sure your Heavenly Father hears about your children every single day. There should never be a day goes by where you don't talk to God about your family. Hannah was a woman of prayer. So let's not only look at her prayer, but notice her promise this morning. Look at verse number 11. "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." Now Hannah made a vow to God. Let me ask you this question. How many of you here have ever made a vow to God? Nobody? Come on, you're in church. Don't be afraid. The Lord's not going to strike you down when you raise your hand. I know I have. I remember when I was about 13 years old. I'm going to tell on myself here this morning. Don't hold a grudge against me. I was about 13 years ago. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I can spot you. I'm just kidding. Thumbsuckers. My fellow thumbsuckers. I was a thumbsucker. And listen to me, my thumb was great comfort to me. All right, I would suck my thumb anywhere. And when I mean anywhere, I mean anywhere. And those of you who have ever been here, who have ever, and look, my parents tried all kinds of things. They would put stuff on my thumb. I found out that once you got past that bad taste, you could just suck that right off. All right, it comes off very good. I used to hear, they would tell me one thumb would get smaller than the other if I keep sucking it. Look, they're both the same size. I just want y'all to know this, right? But I would suck my thumb, and anybody who's ever sucked their thumb or been a thumb sucker, you realize you can't just suck the thumb because the other hand has to do something. See? I hear it. I know you. And that's what I did. Well, I would lay down, especially at night, on my pillow at night, I would suck my thumb. My other hand would take the pillowcase, it would roll it up and throw it out. Roll it back up and throw it out. And when it got hot, I moved to another place, I'd roll it up, I'd throw it out. It would bring great comfort, and I enjoyed that. Well, as a child, I didn't always pay attention in church, let's just be honest. You know, sometimes
I would get sleepy. I had heard my dad every single day, and my dad was my pastor, and he would preach. And as much as I love my dad, and as much as I respect my dad's preaching, and I love and wish that I could be half the man that he is, listen to me, when I would sit down in church, I would get sleepy. So I would lay down in my mother's lap. And as wonderful as that sounds, my mom wasn't always pleased about it, because I would lay there and I'd suck my thumb. I didn't have a bed sheet, but she had a dress. So I would roll that dress up, I would throw it back out. I'd roll it back up, and I'd throw it back out. And occasionally, every now and then, as I would lay there, minding my own business, mind you, she would go, because I think maybe I went too high, but she would slap my hand. But I would do it again. I'd pull it up, and I'd throw it back out. It brought me great comfort, right? Well, when I was approaching somewhere around 12 or 13 years of age, I had a really bad, bad stomach ache. I mean, it hurt so bad. I thought I was going to die. And growing up, I always had stomach problems. I was a nauseous kid. But on this particular day, it wasn't nausea. It was a pain. And it was so strong, I honestly thought I was just that God was going to take me home right then. So I sat there, and I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, if you will make this stomach ache go away and this pain from my stomach reside, I promise you, Lord, I will never suck my thumb again. My stomach ache went away. And had I known then that I just really had bad gas, I probably wouldn't have done that. But I walked away and I stopped sucking my thumb, because we made a vow to God. I haven't sucked it since. No, just kidding. I'm just kidding. Well, I believe here today we have others who have also vowed a vow unto God. And certainly Hannah vowed a vow. And she said, God, if you will give me a man child, I'm going to give this child back to you. You see, Hannah was not bargaining here with the Lord. She wasn't appearing on a game show, let's make a deal. No, but she was willingly offering to do her best. She was trying to give her best back to the Lord. Now, I don't know what kind of vows you've made here today. Perhaps there are some here today, many here today, who have given their wedding vows. Maybe that was before the Lord. Did you give those vows before the Lord? Promising to love, honor, and cherish? Maybe you made a vow today to be faithful in church. Maybe you made a vow that you would tithe. Whatever it is, let me just encourage you this morning, keep your vow to God. I want to encourage you to be like Hannah and vow a vow and live with that vow. So she comes before the Lord and she says, Lord, if you will give me a man child, I make a vow that no razor would come upon his head. And what that was signifying was that this man would become a Nazarite, one that would come in and serve at the tabernacle. He would be a faithful, helpful servant unto the Lord. 3 John in verse number 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And may that be our prayer, by the way, for all of our children today. But here we see a woman who made a vow that if God would give her a child, she would see to it that she would help him to walk in the truth of God's word. Then notice not only her prayer and her promise, but then notice thirdly this morning her performance. Look at verse number 19. The Bible says over in verse number 19, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about Hannah had conceived, she bare a son, called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked of him of the Lord. Look down in verse number 22. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, and he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. Drop down to verse 24. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. So just like she said she would, around the time the child was about 2 or 3 years, 3 or 4 years of age, By the time he had been weaned, she brought him into the house of the Lord, and there she gave her son in dedication to the Lord. Now, God may not be asking you this morning to drop your children off here at the church. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure the Lord is not asking you to leave your children with the pastor. Many of you would appreciate that. I certainly appreciate that myself. But God is maybe asking you to get... Let me put it this way. Our children belong to Him. And so every time we have a child, whenever we raise our children, we need to raise them with the understanding that this child belongs to God. This child needs to be dedicated and handed over to the Lord for whatever the Lord wants for them to do. And we need to place them in His hands. Now, Jesus had only one prayer request in the New Testament. Jesus said, "Pray ye therefore for the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." And mom and dad, if your children are ever leaning towards ministry or towards going into preaching the gospel, we ought not to hinder them from doing that. But remember that we are the ones that vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, "Lord, whatever you want from this child, I will give them to you to do. This child, Lord, belongs to you." That was the heart of Hannah. And she dedicated her children over to the Lord. So we see her difficulty. And then we see her dedication. But finally this morning, I want us to notice Hannah's delight. Let's look at Hannah's delight. Notice how God turned her difficulty into delight. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation." Now here we see a woman that was earlier so bitter. She was distressed. And now God has answered her prayer. She has kept her vow. And now, folks, she's delighting in the Lord. She's rejoicing in what God has done. She's giving Him thanks. She's giving Him praise. She's giving Him adoration. Notice her delight, first of all, was because of God's deliverance. God had made a way. Verse number 1, down through this chapter, she mentions the Lord 8 different times. She's not talking about herself in her prayer. She's not talking about her son. She's honoring and praising God for what He has done. So she is thanking the Lord for His deliverance. And then secondly, she is thanking the Lord this morning for His strength. She was looking to God's strength. Look at verse number 2. "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our Lord." Ladies, I want you to understand this. One of the greatest secrets to Hannah's success was not that she relied on Elkanah as her rock. How many of you remember the old Chevrolet commercial, "Like a Rock"? Y'all remember that? That was like the best slogan, wasn't it? She was not relying in this world to be her rock. She wasn't relying on her husband to be her rock. The rock, folks, was the Lord Himself. That's who Hannah was relying on. Most of us men, if we're really honest with ourselves, we are not rocks. We're pebbles. We're grains of sand. We're God's creation. We falter. We fail. We don't always lead the way that we're supposed to lead. Sometimes we mess up, ladies. But God never messes up. God never fails. And God will never lead us into a direction that He doesn't want us to go. He never intended for husbands to take His place. And men, God never intended your wife to take God's place. God should be first in everything that we do. God wants us to learn that He alone is the rock, that He alone is our joy, and He alone is our satisfaction. And that when you get right with God, can I just tell you, when God has His rightful place in our homes, everything else just seems to fall in order. When God is at the top, everything else works out. That doesn't mean that circumstances won't come into your life. It doesn't mean that trials won't happen. It doesn't mean that the heart won't get broken. It doesn't mean that your children are going to live this perfect life. It means that I'm no longer trusting in the circumstances around me, but I'm trusting in the resources given to me by my Heavenly Father, because He alone is my rock. And so here we see a woman who wasn't trusting in Elkanah. She was trusting in her rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Wives, can I tell you this morning a little secret? Your husbands will disappoint you, but Jesus Christ never will. Lean on Him. Trust in Him. Let Christ be the rock of your life. Why? Because He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. God never changes. He will never fail you. He will never disappoint you. And Hannah is telling us, "For there is none beside thee, neither is there any like our God." It hurts when human relationships fail, but folks, Jesus never fails. And that's what Hannah learned. She learned how to trust in the Lord, and that's the testimony that she gives each and every one of us here. The psalmist says in Psalms 31, verses 2 and 3, "Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily, be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." And so we see here Hannah's delighting in God's deliverance, delighting in God's strength. And then notice, moms, one more thing as we close this morning. Hannah was delighting in God's service. See, she didn't think that going to church was a hassle. She didn't believe that going to church was an inconvenience in her life. Look at verse number 19 of 1 Samuel chapter 2. Verse 19 tells us, "Moreover, his mother, talking about Samuel, his mother made a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice." You see, at the beginning of our story, when Hannah went to Shiloh, when she went to worship God in the tabernacle, her heart was heavy. The Bible tells us that she was in such bitterness. She was displeased. She was distressed. She was having a difficult time. And now we read here in verse number 19 of a mother named Hannah. And folks, she can't wait to get to Shiloh. She can't wait to get to the tabernacle. Why? Because Samuel, her son, was there. And she is going to worship God with her son. And year after year, the Bible tells us that Hannah was making coats for her son. You know how children are, right? They don't stay small very long. All right? I look at my own kids, right, and watch how fast they've grown. I was remarking to somebody the other day, when Zach is our oldest, of course, and so when he was born, obviously, he was taller than everybody else. Somewhere along the line, Hayden decided to come on right beside him and just shot right up behind him. We dealt with that, right? Because, wait a minute, I'm the oldest, why am I shorter, right, type thing. But then over the last year and a half, some of you may have noticed, now Zach is back on top, right? Talk about competitive boys. They're always sitting there trying to find it. Hayden thinks that he's the same height just because his alfalfa can get up there. He figured if he can get that alfalfa up there, that just makes them equal, right? And so we did what any good, loving, cherished parent would do. We cut the alfalfa off. We got it removed. I'm just kidding. It's still there, standing proud. But there was competition, right? Well, they grow. Well, year after year, Hannah would go to this tabernacle. And every year she would make Samuel a coat. Why? Because he kept growing. He kept growing out of what he had, so he had to be given something new. Folks, in our Christian life, in our Christian walk, you and I, year after year after year, as we go into the tabernacle of the Lord, we are to grow. We are to continue to strengthen our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to continue to grow in His Spirit, grow in His truth, grow in His grace and the knowledge and the understanding of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is what Samuel was doing. Why was he growing? Because Hannah gave him to the Lord. Hannah presented him back to God and allowed God to use in Samuel what He had designed for him all along. See, that's what we do when we support our missionaries. That's what we do when we give to the Lord, folks. We are helping to serve. We're helping others to serve. We serve here in our own local church. We give of our time, our talents, our efforts. We give of what the Lord has given to us. And here Hannah wanted to be a part of God's service, bringing these things to the tabernacle. Can I say this morning to all of our mothers, thank you. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for your sacrifices. Thank you for the late nights. Thank you that when everybody in the house thinks you're asleep, you're really not. The wheels are turning. Husbands, thank your wives for what they do. God has given my children one of the best mothers I could think of. Thank you, Heather. Thank you for raising our children in the way of God. Thank you for trusting Him. Thank you for walking with Him. Thank you for the late nights. Thank you for the hardships. Thank you for always being there for Him. Men, thank your wives. Thank you, moms, for everything that you've done. Thank you for having a testimony like Hannah had, giving of yourselves and sacrificing so much. Hannah learned how to turn difficulty into delight. Why? Because she had a rock, and His name was Jesus Christ. And folks, can I tell you this morning that as long as Christ is your rock, you can continue to be that testimony that God wants you to be. I'm going to ask Brother Mark and Miss Connie if they will come forward this morning, get our songs ready. I'm going to ask all heads to be bowed today, all eyes closed, no one looking around the room. If you're here this morning and you don't have that rock, you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart and life this morning, can I tell you, you're missing the most important thing in your life. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And the Bible also tells us that the wages of those sin is death, but that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friends, make sure that before you leave here today that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Make sure today that heaven is your home. And make sure that before you leave here today that you have surrendered your life, your will, and your heart over to God. Let God take those disappointments and turn them into the light as you trust Him every single step of the way. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this moment. I thank you for our moms who are here today, Lord. Father, I pray for the weary mom. Lord, maybe the one that didn't get much sleep last night, but she's here today and she's tired. She's just trying to make it through the day, Lord. I pray that you would bless her. Give her your strength. Father, I pray for the mom that is struggling today. Maybe she doesn't know where her children are. She doesn't know what they're doing right now. But she's praying for them. Father, I pray that she would not quit. She would not give up. That she would continue on. Father, perhaps there is a mom here today who is fighting for her family. Father, let her know that her prayers are not in vain. Father, that she needs to keep going, that she keeps pressing, keep going forward, lifting up her family before the Lord, trusting that all will work out according to His plan and to your ways and not ours. Father, I pray for the lost soul that may be here today that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Father, let this be the day that they give over their heart and their life over to you. Father, help us to live a surrendered life today for you, that we would give our all to you this day. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you all stand with me this morning as we sing hymn number 330, Only Trust Him. Folks, listen to me. There's only one person that we need to trust today, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you surrender your will and your life to Him, I promise you He will put all of your life in order. And He will put it to where He wants it to be. He's just wanting us to surrender. Would you do that now?
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
Amen. Thank you so much for being here. Listen to me, the greatest life one person will ever live would be a life that is surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no greater joy, folks. Troubles will come. Heartaches are going to be here. Trials will be faced. There's nothing we can do about that. That's life. We live in a sinful world. We live in a world that has a lot of lost people in it that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We live in a world where Christians sometimes fall away from God. Why? Because we battle flesh, and we battle it every single day. But folks, when you surrender your life over to the Lord, when you surrender that will over to His will, it's amazing what God can do with a surrendered life to the glory of His name. Thank you so much for being here this morning. My prayer today is that all of our mothers will have a very happy Mother's Day, that you will spend time with your children and spend time with your families. I want to encourage all of our young people here today, clean the kitchen, okay? Pick up after yourself. You know those shoes by the front door? Put them away. You know, give mom a break today. And more importantly, tell her you love her. Tell her thank you for all that she's doing. And let's appreciate all of our mothers today. Brother Robert, would you lead us in prayer?